every day I remind myself that I have the power to choose what I focus on. Because this is actually a big topic, exactly now, especially now with the corona, because there's so many things we don't have any control of. Like most of the things that happen, we cannot control. Like we cannot control what people think about us, what people say to us, how they treat us. We cannot control any viruses that can pop up at any time, any natural disasters, like anything like that, we absolutely have no control over, but we always have the power, how are we going to respond to that?
Welcome to Weighing In on Happy, the only podcast that dives deep into discussions around weight, eating disorders, mental health, body image, intuitive eating, wellness, confidence, and so much more. Each week, you'll be coached through different stories and strategies on how to start living your best life today. So, if you're ready, here's your host, Victoria Evans.
This episode of Weighing In on Happy has been brought to you by my Craving Food Freedom membership program. If you are looking to join an international community of women collectively healing their relationship with food and their body, then this is the place for you. If you're currently feeling out of control and afraid around some foods, thinking obsessively about food and your body all day long, you're tired of saying that tomorrow is a new day and you'll start over, that some foods are good and bad, and just feeling alone on this journey and wanting some accountability, community, and support so you can break free and live a life of food freedom, then be sure to check out my website, www.victoriaevansofficial.com, and check out the members tab. You can find out everything you need to know there and sign up immediately and get full access to this program. Now, before we dive into this episode, I wanted to say that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and sometimes entertainment. So do not take what is said in this podcast as medical advice. Please seek medical health professionals.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Weighing In on Happy. My name is Victoria Evans, an intuitive eating coach, and I am super excited today because I'm joined by Tui, and I'm not even going to try to say her last name, you guys. So what is your last name?
Van Rentrichem.
Yeah, but now you know why. I was like, do I spell that phonetically? I would try to say it because I'm just notorious for butchering last names. But I was like, I'm not even going to hurt myself and just try it. So thank you for saying that.
No worries.
So you are a CrossFitter and you're also a coach who helps women feel amazing through psychological and plant-based approach. So I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Victoria.
So the first time I walked into the CrossFit gym here in Bali, I saw you coaching and you were like this just beautiful, bubbly light of like amazingness. Like you literally shine as a person. And I was like, who is this lady? How can I get to know her? How can I like be in her life? So I'm like, aha, I will podcast with her and then I can infiltrate and figure out how she's doing this and then share it with my audience. Cause you guys, like literally this girl just, she shines. She shines.
Aw, thanks for saying that. Kind words.
It's the truth. And so I want to find out more about that. Like, I want to know how you have cultivated that and kind of what your stories look like. So we're obviously sitting here in Bali now and you're just talking about how crazy it is that this is our life. But I know, you know, it's a journey to get to where we are. And so you are such an upbeat and like happy person, but have you always been that way?
That's a really good question. And that actually takes me back into how far I have come because that used to be maybe my kind of hardest enemy in the way that what was going on in my head used to be like I was so hard on myself that I think I always had kind of this outside positivity. So I was actually thinking like, do people even know what I was going through? Because I think I've always been really positive and always kind of had that mask of being happy and having that energy around me. But what used to be going in my head before was a massive like perfectionism. So I think I was trying to get acceptance and love with that. And I was so hard on myself before that I think I couldn't like attend certain situations. Even now, like I start feeling it in my body when I think back of it because I was so afraid of failure, not because of the judgments of other people, but because of the judgment of myself. And it got to the point, like, even like, especially when studying and working, I always had to, like, I was always comparing myself to others. I was massive pressure about how I need to look. So I came really obsessive with food and training. And when I started to get kind of to that standard that I thought will make me relaxed and will make me happy, I realized like it wasn't happening inside. It's outside, as you also shared a little bit of your story, like everyone else started to be like, oh wow, but then inside I was just like still like using that whip every time I did something wrong, like not according to my standards. So long story short, I think it was around 5 years back, I was living in the Netherlands at the time for my studies, and the program was really hard. And it got to the point, I remember, like I was calling, crying home to my boyfriend at the time, I can't do this, like I'm gonna fail. And it's just gonna be so embarrassing. I better just stop right here and just come home because I'm not gonna make it. Like it's way too hard. And it became so painful the way I was treating myself that I think that I reached a threshold that I was like, okay, I can't hold this mask anymore. Like I cannot be this strong person and show that everything is right, because that was the opposite of how I was feeling. And I believe in that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, because exactly at that time, of course, I met a lady who introduced me to meditation, and she borrowed me some self-development, self-help books. And then that was the first time that I kind of like let myself collapse. Yeah. And I accepted like, okay, this has gone too far. So I'm gonna just look in what's going on. And with like slowing down and going into meditation and like reading about that I'm not abnormal, that it's a thing, I see this kind of like this inner work as peeling an onion. So I started to, there was a first layer that happened there. So I was like, okay, wow, like okay, this like awareness started to come up. And that was like, then I just like got really into it. I think I read every possible book that I could find on the topic, and I started to understand that my like sensitive side and vulnerability that I was trying to hide for so long, like I would never cry in front of anyone, I would always have to show up like strong and athletic and best in school and blah blah blah. And then I started to kind of understand that it's not a weakness, that kind of compassion and kindness that I had, but it's a strength. And then the more I started to show that to people, the more I understood that people, like the connection was much stronger, that it's not failure, it's just human. And yeah, there, that was kind of the first massive thing that happened there. It's around 5 years ago. And since then, it's just been an amazing journey, like just peeling those layers of the onion, and it's still happening. I think what's beautiful here also, what I tell my clients, like it's never ending. Yeah. It's not like at some day you just arrive, but you can always, like it's a journey that never ends, and you can always get happier. And the more you align with yourself, the more you understand what are the things that make you happy. And the more, for me, like the more I start to shine every day, because it's kind of like, I was kind of a flower that I was like kind of closed, like what happens to the flowers in the night, and then I just blossomed when everything came together.
I love it. I feel like that was like literally like me telling my own story, but with a cool accent, because like there is so much in there in terms of like being like a hard-hitting athlete and like the perfectionism. Like the perfectionism is huge, especially in my community, and some people don't even necessarily recognize. I know for myself, because my perfectionism didn't necessarily show up academically, but it showed up like athletically and in my appearance, how I ate, how I worked out. Like that was how my perfectionism showed up. And it's this like really toxic idea that like if I perform perfectly, if I do everything perfectly, then I can basically avoid any painful feelings of blame, judgment, or shame. And then because that's not humanly possible to never feel those feelings, we think it's just because we weren't perfect enough. So it becomes this like toxic spiral of like, oh, I just need to be more perfect, then I'll connect, then I'll be loved. And like, because it's not possible to be perfect, then we think it's because we weren't perfect enough. And then we just, again, it just like fuels itself. And so I've definitely lived that spiral in myself, like thinking if I showed the world my best self, like that's how people would connect to me. But realizing like we don't connect with perfect, we connect with imperfect. And when we see other people's, you know, vulnerabilities, and we're able to connect with the fact that we have them too, and like you know, I couldn't slow down. Like, I used to struggle. The idea of meditation, someone talked to me about it and I laughed in their face because I was like, there's so much going on in my mind. And also it was scary to slow down. Did you find it was like scary to kind of start to meditate and listen to your inner thoughts?
Definitely. And it still is sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's funny that that's the hardest thing to do in general for people. Like, we can go smash these CrossFit trainings and we can do all this crazy stuff. But then when we actually have to just sit in silence with our thoughts, people are like, oh, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason that it's so uncomfortable. So yeah, it was definitely scary. And even like now going back into kind of those moments, I can still feel in my body, like, starting to connect to those kind of dark feelings and realizing like how hard I was on myself and all that. It was really painful and really scary to connect to that. And to kind of like, as you said, to start being vulnerable and imperfect. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. when you have that belief that when only being perfect and being strong and showing up in your best self, that's the way to get acceptance and get love. There is this massive fear of like, what if I don't do that? People are going to judge me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be loved. I'm not going to find love. I remember like I had these massive beliefs about looks as well. Like, of course, when you have a belief that you need to be perfect, everything that kind of serves that beliefs becomes like, how do you say that in English? It's like embracing that. I remember I had a friend at the time who used to always like, she was really small, so she would always be like, oh, I'm so happy I'm so small because guys only like small girls because, you know, you cannot be like taller than a guy, right? And she would like, it became so obsessive in my head that I remember this one time I was Googling how could I like make a surgery or something, I could become smaller. It comes to that point and the desperation, like realizing that that's probably not possible. I don't know, probably now it already is. But I literally like, it affected everything, like these kind of comments, because then I started to try to be small. So you can imagine like my posture, try to like sink in, don't see me, don't see that I'm tall. So the way I carry myself and so of course like that affects, of course the loop starts to go there because that's how people see you then as well.
And I did a really cool deep dive training on even like confidence and how our body actually interprets it. So I know for myself, like I'm tall as well and spend my entire life trying to shrink my body, thinking that's how I'd be loved and cute and like, oh, guys want to feel big and macho and girls want to always feel a little protected. So I was just like, I'm always a failure because I'm tall, blah blah blah. But even just like the way we carry ourselves. So if you're taller or you're feeling like you don't like your body and your shoulders are forward and you're hunched over, like from a physiological standpoint, your body's releasing more cortisol and your testosterone levels are lower, which means you're feeling worse about yourself. So it's like you have that, which makes you feel worse. And then because you're feeling worse, you're less likely to go out, talk to new people. So then it really like fortifies the belief that no one wants to talk to me and I'm not good enough because other people are seeing you hunched over, and even from their brain standpoint, interpreting like from thousands of years ago, looking at the body language, like, oh, she's not very well, like she's sick, her shoulders are forward, you know, thinking again, like back into tribe times, like I'm not going to mate with someone who looks like they're sickly, who doesn't have that confidence and that energy. So they maybe wouldn't want to come over and talk to you. So it's like everything kind of starts to just compound on itself. Which makes it even more difficult because then you believe these beliefs that were just thoughts to begin with, but now you're almost like creating evidence for it
exactly
with the belief that you had thought initially. So it's like
exactly.
Frank.
Yeah, and the loop is ready, right?
Yeah, so it's challenging that and like being like, okay, yeah, these were thoughts, and I basically ended up with a confirmation bias because I decided that this was a thought I was going to believe, and then my brain looked for a bunch of evidence to support it. So for you, how were you able to step into a space of vulnerability? So you said meditation was really important for you. But how did you release that fear?
I think it was literally like, one step at a time, like peeling that onion. I think, that I started to get evidence to support the opposite belief.
Mm.
So even like getting an experience that I would, start crying, like, or I would get for it's first not was crying, right? Just get like emotional in front of someone and like get evidence like, oh, people actually are gonna love me even more because they see like what's actually going on and they support me, and it's not like that I have to be always have my shit together, I always have to be strong. So I think it's just, I can't like recall any like specific thing. I think it was just like small things that I started to allow myself to be more me and be more authentic. And then I started to get evidence that, oh, this is actually, I feel much better and people actually love me even more because I'm authentic.
And it's exhausting trying to show up as someone else. Like, I know just being like always tired, trying to be perfect all the time, trying to have my, I remember being back like when I was 13, like I remember I called my parents to go home from school because there was a snowstorm out. And the snow, when I was walking outside, had gotten the makeup off of my face, off a zit on my face. And my hair had become unstraightened, and I would straighten it for like hours every night. And I was like, I'm sick, I have to come home. Like, I literally was like, I can't be seen like this. Like, I was so determined to look perfect, everyone think I was perfect. And like, it's so tiring. And then when you have those moments where you connect with someone and you're like crying and you're like, they are able to be there for you. And even the opposite I found as well, like for friendships, when you're showing up in a very like, I have to be perfect kind of way, it makes it difficult to have friendships and relationships that are really deep. And so I found like, again, it was kind of this, all this evidence that like, I just need to be more perfect. And then I'll find that sense of connection. But because I was portraying that my only value as a person was skin deep, I was attracting people in my life who only valued things that were skin deep as well. And then when I started to kind of open up and be really vulnerable, the people who resonated with that and people who actually connected with who I was truly as a person started to come into my life and come more and more into my life. And like you said, it starts to kind of provide the opposite evidence, like, oh yeah, and like, you can cry and it feels amazing. Like just to cry. Like I didn't realize like how, it's just great. I cry like once a day now.
Yeah. Like, and that's one thing. Like it's accepting. I'm still practicing. I said like it's a continuous journey. Like still when I face difficult emotions or when I go like when I have moments or days or even periods of time that I feel more down or more tired or something, to just accept it and to not like try to resist that feeling. And once you get that acceptance, then you're allowed to feel it. So instead of suppress it down into your body or just like distract yourself or try to avoid it, go to the gym every time to not having to deal with it, right? Then you actually can feel the feeling, whatever that is. And then that's the only way, how I see that, we can learn from it as well. Yeah. Because then we start understanding where it's coming from. And we can maybe in the future address the situation in a different way or work on the root cause. And then we also start learning like how to change our mood, right? Like if we are feeling sad or we're feeling tired, once we have done those steps, we can, the better we know ourselves, the better we know also what we need to do in that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes it's enough that we put on some happy music or go for a walk or watch some funny cat videos, whatever that is, to like kind of break that pattern.
Yeah.
Because then if you get into that pity party of just like, just into that victim story, like, oh, it just feels so bad and just keeps going for too long, that's also not going to serve you.
Yeah.
So just kind of like remember that we can always change our mood, but the first step is always accepting.
Yeah. And I feel like, I know for myself, there is always a lot of judgment around having negative emotions and like feelings. Like, I was like, I shouldn't be happy right now. Like, even like my life now, like it's sometimes I'm like, if I'm ever having a bad day, it's, I have to catch myself because I'm judging myself being like, Victoria, like you're in Bali, like why are you upset right now, why are you depressed, blah, blah, blah. And it's that judgment and the fact like we're humans, which means we have up and downs, and it's like the contrast of life which allows us to appreciate it. Like if it was always sunny, we'd never appreciate the sun, kind of thing. And we need that contrast. And I just released like a deep dive training on emotions basically and how to process them, and was doing some really cool research on this neuroanatomist, Dr. Jim Bolt Taylor, and she was saying how basically like we feel emotions for like 90 seconds, like a true, like purely when you're feeling it, from the moment you think the thought of like, for example, anger, to the time like all the chemicals are clear of your bloodstream, like that have been dumped into it, it's about 90 seconds if you don't actually resist it. And if you resist it, then you'll uptake the thought again and go through the entire thing. So it's showing how like when you don't you know, judge it, when you don't resist it, when you give yourself that permission, I always tell my clients, like, be like, I give myself permission to feel whatever, mm-hmm. like actually say it out loud. It's crazy that just like the weight off your shoulders, so you realize how much you were resisting it and judging it, mm-hmm. which, you know, like the whole, like, what resists persists kind of thing versus just like allowing it and it just moves through you. And it's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Versus the resistance and the judgment, which prolongs it, and then our brain associates it with so much more of a painful experience, because in the past, like you said, we've suppressed it for so long, or we don't allow ourselves to experience it, that by the time we do, it's like become such a big thing, and it's like a breakdown, we're exhausted, and like it's too much, and our, like, see, look at what happens when we feel our emotions. It's like, that's what happens when you waited so long to feel your emotion that it got to like DEFCON 1. It was like red flags, like alarms going off, and you just like shut down. But that's what you've associated feeling your emotions with. It's like, no. If you just check in throughout the day, and like, even have my clients like set little reminders on your phone, just like check in, like, how am I feeling right now? Like, slow down, breathe, because we go so fast at the end of the day and we're like, I don't even know why I'm so overwhelmed and exhausted, because it's the end of the day and you realize you had not, you know, taken a second to just pause and be like, what am I feeling? Mm. Accepting how I'm feeling, knowing it's okay to be human and have emotions, and you don't have to be happy all the time. And yeah,
that's a thing, right? I think even with all the social media glamour, everything, like, people tend to have this belief that we must be happy all the time, we must have energy all the time, we must be living our best life all the time, we have to show it to other people. And then once we get those moments that, okay, I'm actually not feeling happy, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling super tired or whatever, that then we start like labeling, oh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, my clients also sometimes they're like, oh, but lately I've been just like, I've been feeling down. Yeah. I haven't had energy. I'm like, that's normal. That's human. I also have that, right?
Yes.
People ask me, like, because in general I'm always and happy and positive. Yeah. People ask me, do you ever have bad days? Or do you ever
nope,
feel bad?
I'm perfect all the time.
I'm seriously asking that. Like, yeah. Of course, like, everyone has it. And I think the more we understand that, the more the kind of people always want to feel normal, right?
Yeah.
So the more we embrace that it is part of life, like in everything we have the ups and downs, as you said. Also with the when we feel sad, we can feel happier, and and it's the same. Sometimes we need to get sick in order to appreciate our health.
Yes.
I think it comes down to everything.
Oh, it's so true. Like, you, yeah, if you never experience any kind of adversity or any kind of thing that is happening in your life, you can't appreciate the opposite. Like, I'm so grateful for, like, the fact I can shower and not have all of my hair basically feel like it's falling out. Like, it's like, but for other people, like, that's ridiculous. But, like, when I was anorexic, my hair was falling out in clumps. Or, like, even now, I get my period and I'm, like, still super excited about it because I'm, like, I know what it's like to not have it. And, like, going to all these doctors and doing all these tests and, like, doing all this work to basically get it back. And it's, like, it's the little things, like, little things in life that you get to appreciate and be grateful for. And, like, I realized I kind of took that away from emotions, but, like, I was, like, kind of just segued into that. But, yeah, and I think, like, in terms of even being happy, I think a lot of people also focus a lot on the negative.
That's a big one.
And I know for myself, I was someone who was so the victim of my own life. Like, I had actively created my life in every which way, and yet I considered myself the victim of it. Instead of taking responsibility and realizing I could take a change. But I remember my poor mother, I would call her every day on the way home from work and just complain about my job and my life and how, like, unhappy I was. And she would make suggestions to me and I'd just be like, no, like, that's stupid. Like, I would just be so mean because I was so unhappy. And I was just so hyper-fixed on the negative. And versus, like, you know, this whole, like, your brain works, like, if you, whatever you focus on, you create more of. And so, even like a little practice I've started is like in my journal in the morning being like, what is going well for me? Like, what went well today? What am I proud of myself for? Instead of turning into this like weeping wall of like negativity. And then I just start my day like, bleh.
Exactly. That's one of the biggest things. I think like one of the biggest reasons why I'm so happy is that I start to practice to focus on different things. Because this is also a thing that people think, oh, we understand that if we want to get fit, we need to go to the gym, we need to do a physical work, we need to look at our nutrition. But then we think in this kind of mindset stuff, like, oh, we just need to read it once and then we like switch on this button. But it's the same, like, it's the same work we need to do there. Like, brain is also a muscle.
Yeah.
So with this focus thing, I think it is just accepting with that as well, that it's not going to happen straight away. You just need to start creating awareness to that and to start choosing to, okay, I'm going to start acting different in this kind of situation. And it's going to come in small steps. Sometimes it's going to feel easier. Sometimes we fall into our old patterns. Mm-hmm. But the more we can start embracing, as you said, like focusing on all the abundance that's around mm-hmm. us instead of the lack, I think that's the biggest reason why people are not happy, if we always focus on what we don't have and mm-hmm. what the things that could be better, instead of like seeing all the beauty around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know you work with clients. And so what would be something you advise them to do to help them be more positive and like focus on the positivity and feel better? Like, what are some tools you like to work with them on?
Well, we always start with awareness. Like, yeah. That's the biggest thing, that we become aware of what's going on in our head and what we're doing, because most people just go throughout their days like with autopilot. And then, as you said, if you mm-hmm. are in an autopilot that's not serving you mm-hmm. and you're just focusing on negative things and not addressing the feelings, and she said, like, not checking in with yourself, then when we don't have awareness, how can we change? So yeah. The first thing is always like starting to see what's actually going on, that we can go into the to the root cause of things. And then it really comes down to the kind of the simple small things mm-hmm. as well, because what I believe is like our habits are so important, because it's the daily small things that add up. So we always start working on those like small steps, the small habits, because that's what adds up. So creating awareness that what serves you, mm-hmm. what is the things that make you happy, and then embrace that, because we often just do things because we think we should do them. We are like getting this information outside. Oh, I should do this, I should do that. And we don't actually ever even look into, but is that actually working for me? Mm-hmm. What are the things that I need in order to thrive? And for, we are all unique individuals, so for everyone it's different. Mm-hmm. So that's like, where we start from, kind of like all that focusing stuff and creating awareness in daily life.
Hey, you guys, I wanted to quickly hop in here and give a quick shout out to one of the members in the Craving Food Freedom membership program. She had posted in our private Facebook chat and said, "You guys, I have chocolate in my fridge and I'm not binging on it. Such a huge win. I always thought I wasn't going to be able to keep any foods that I actually enjoyed in my house because I was so afraid that I was going to eat everything. Huge win. Wanted to share. Thank you all for your support." So I'm loving the Facebook Messenger chat we have with our members. It is so cool to hear the updates and the wins from everyone. So if you want to learn more about this program, then check out my website, www.victoriaevansofficial.com, and check on the members tab. All right, now back to the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we're just our habits, basically, like at the core of it. We're just representation of our habits, but it's small habits, because again I see so many people who are like, okay, we're gonna do some changes here, they go right back into the perfectionism. So it's like all or nothing. So it's not like tomorrow I'm gonna like, or this week I'm gonna try to meditate once for 5 minutes or something. It's gonna be like, I'm gonna meditate every day for like 30 minutes, and like they've never done it before. I'm like, no, like that's not what we're trying to do. Like, how you beat perfectionism is by taking small actions that you can actually know you can achieve 1000% every single time. So like that's how I built it up with them. So it's like building confidence in yourself versus trying to build a habit of like going to the gym every single day for 3 hours if you've never gone to the gym before. Or like, or I compare it to analogy, it's like people are like, I'm gonna run a marathon tomorrow and they've never walked like a 5k kind of thing. It's like, no, exactly. Why don't we this week, why don't you run like one 5k or something, and the next week maybe we'll run a 2k and a 2k and a 1k or whatever it is. Like, it's slowly stacking it up, the habits over time. And so for you, and when you were getting into meditation, was there a way that you like were able to integrate it slowly into your life, going from feeling like you couldn't really slow down to slowly getting into a space where you could slow down and kind of tune in and be aware?
Yeah, that's meditation is also such a kind of like mysterious topic.
Yes, it is.
And this is also what I teach my clients. It doesn't have to be this kind of, I go into this Zen pose and then I just try to sit there for uncomfortable 15 minutes.
I'm thinking nothing in my mind.
Exactly,
yeah.
And then freaking out because thoughts will come, right? Yeah. So I think even just like meditating can be anything. It doesn't have to be like still and silent or a guided one, whatever. It can be just like washing the dishes, you know, like if you actually focus on the task you're doing, or walking in the forest, instead of having your phone and listening to podcasts and music all the time, sometimes just like, okay, I'm just gonna like actually live in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, one of the biggest tools as well, as we talked about the focus, to teach your brain to focus on what's going on and to start like seeing the beauty, because magic is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Even when you wash the dishes, you can focus on, you know, I just washed the dishes before you came, but I still do this. I focus on the warm water and the foam and the kind of the satisfaction when everything starts from this messy and becomes like, yeah, you see the work of your hands there. So this kind of small thing, you can meditate like all the time throughout the day, just even in 1 minute, brushing your feet. Start asking yourself, as you also said, like with the focus, like what do we choose to focus on? It comes down to questions. If we start our day, that we wake up and we're like, oh, what do I need to do today? Well, I'm so stressed. And we go straight into that phase. And instead of going like, oh, what am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. What am I happy about? What cool things are going to happen today? Mm-hmm. It's a completely different mindset. And that's also part of the meditation practice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting super present, super mindful of what's going on. And I know for myself, like even to start my journey into meditation, like I had to do some box breathing. Like that was kind of like my anchor into it, because it was like an active way I could do it. It wasn't so much about, because when I first especially learned about meditation, like my thought was like it is just sitting there looking super zen, thinking no thoughts, and like there's no way. So for me, like even doing like the box breathing, like the tactical breathing, like inhale for four, hold for four, that kind of thing, like just had like a little app on my phone doing that, and like game changer. Like it's practicing being in the moment, bringing your thoughts back to, you know, where you're at instead of letting them float away, and knowing it's human. Like it means you're alive if you have thoughts going in your head. Like it's not meaning you're failing at meditation. Like congratulations, you're living. I thought I was like, I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, no, I think it just means I'm alive. But like finding a meditation practice that works for you, I think is like, yeah, like you said, it couldn't be washing the dishes. It can be going on a walk. For me, it's like even doing things like box breathing. And now I'm a bit more into like doing, you know, guided meditations and stuff. And I can kind of explore that. But like people who are listening right now, like meditation, it sounds so cheesy, but it will change your fucking life. Like literally. Because especially when you're someone who's go, go, go. And I know myself started with a lot of anxiety and perfectionism, always having to be on. Your brain is like very much in that kind of like sympathetic fight or flight mode, like all the time. Like it is so hard to slow down. And meditation is like the opposite of that. It is like literally practicing being in the parasympathetic, like the rest, digest, and heal. And again, it's like taking your brain to the gym. It's like building a muscle. You have to do it consistently over time. You're not going to go to the gym once and be like shredded. You're going to take it's like the little times that you go builds up consistently. But like Google different meditation practices, download different apps, you know, find different ways that you can kind of tune in to your own life. And it doesn't have to be like this horrible, scary thing. Like it can be actually really fun and enjoyable and you feel fucking great.
Exactly. And small things to remind ourselves as well, like, because that's how it starts with something that's achievable. Because if we are like, okay, I'm going to start meditating, I'm going to start doing it 20 minutes every day, ain't going to happen.
Nope.
Like small things. Like I still have these little colorful post-it cards like in the mirror of my bathroom. So every morning, every night when I brush my teeth, it's always when I look in the mirror, I have these beautiful affirmations to remind myself, to set myself in that into that mood of abundance and into that like, just, I also need reminders of how awesome my life and how great everything is. And to kind of like every day I remind myself that I have the power to choose what I focus on. Because this is actually a big topic, exactly now, especially now with the corona, because there's so many things we don't have any control of. Like most of the things that happen, we cannot control. Like we cannot control what people think about us, what people say to us, how they treat us. We cannot control any viruses that can pop up at any time, any natural disasters, like anything like that, we absolutely have no control over, but we always have the power, how are we going to respond to that? And that's a really, really massive thing when you understand how much power that gives you, because then you don't give that power for someone else or for something outside to upset you, because you always have that choice in the moment, like, how am I going to respond to this? And this is also a practice that needs a lot of repetition, because we have the pattern when something does, whatever that is, we get angry and we start complaining and we get negative. But when we get awareness on that, we can start changing that also step by step. And it becomes such a powerful tool, because then you can choose literally what state you want to be. You can be super happy, you can be in this positive state, and if someone is rude to you, it's never anyway about you anyways, but understanding that you don't have to respond to that in a way that's going to upset you. You always have the power to choose how you're going to deal with that situation. So that's also a massive thing, even with this corona. Like, you can choose to focus on the negative stuff, and you can choose to just complain and everything is shit, or you can choose, okay, I cannot do anything about this, these are the things I cannot control, so I'm going to focus my energy on what I can control.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, whatever you focus on becomes a blueprint for your life. So, that's like the end of it. It's not saying it's not difficult, because even what we're saying, focus on this and that, it's the world is tough. The world is really difficult right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. But you have to be super conscientious of what is serving you, what is not serving you, what is harming you versus what is helping you, what is educating you versus what is just kind of holding you back. And I think that line is different for everyone. But watching media coverage for 24 hours a day, that doesn't necessarily serve you at a certain point versus focusing on things you do have, connecting with family, slowing down, doing things that you enjoy and you love. It's taking, again, having that awareness and doing what feels good for you, you know?
Exactly.
I feel like we just need to have a lot more fun in our lives.
Exactly. That's one big thing. I think now back to my old self was I took everything really seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And everything was kind of like a test. I saw life as a test. I have to execute everything perfectly. And I would get numbers in my head when I execute, it was never good enough. So it was always you should have done better, blah, blah. But what was the thing that you said in the first place? Yeah, fun. We need to have more fun.
Fun, right.
Guys, embrace what makes you happy. Yeah. When there's things that you feel great, you try, you feel happy, start doing that more.
Yep.
Because we only got this one life. I think that's one of the biggest things. Don't take life too seriously.
Yes.
Because it's supposed to be fun. We're here to have fun and learn.
What's the point of it otherwise, you know? I started listening to all the Disney soundtracks all the time. I just in my room, I'm just bopping about, kind of working, doing whatever, and I'm just singing The Lion King and Frozen.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm living my best life, pretending to be Simone and Pumbaa. I'm oh my god.
that's
so fun.
I know, and I do that sometimes after the class when I call the Lion King on, and people are what are you doing? I'm just singing and dancing along. But I think even being silly allows also that connection, because then also people around you can relax, it's not that serious, it's okay to be a little bit silly and stupid sometimes. You don't have to always be pretending that everything is perfect all the time in that sense,
because then it gives permission to other people to show up as themselves. When we show up as ourselves, when we bring our walls down, when we're vulnerable, when we're goofy, we're having fun, that means other people get to have fun too. Versus if I'm just always and I used to be so judgmental because I was so insecure that I would project that onto other people. So if you're finding people are super negative, super judgy, it's because they're projecting their own issues. It's nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
Hurt people. Exactly. Versus now I'm just I don't care, do whatever, being a goofball. That's I'm having more fun. Everyone around me is having more fun. I'm connected. I'm why was I trying so hard to be perfect and serious? Man, it was so awful.
I think this is also part, a big part comes down to the identity that we create for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we believe that we are this serious person who always does certain things and behaves in a certain way, just remembering also that identity is a decision. So we can at any time, not to start making things up, but if I live in this story, I tell myself this story, I tell others this story that I am not an adventurous person. I like my comfort. I don't like to go out. It's affecting a lot. If you compare that, I decide I want to experiment things. I'm an adventurous person. I'm a bubbly person. If I start telling a different story, it's gonna start affecting my thoughts and my actions and my outcomes. So that's also something that what I play a lot around with my clients is this identity shift game. So if you would move to another country and no one knows you and you have this clean sleeve that you can literally create your story, what would you do? What kind of qualities would you have more? What kind of qualities would you have less? Because this is literally what we can do every day as well.
I love that. Yeah, I used to talk to my mom. She used to always say to me, like, oh, Victoria doesn't do well with change. She doesn't handle change very well. She gets very upset, blah, blah. Like, literally from the moment I was going to daycare, because I would scream and be so upset going to daycare. And, like, that was my narrative my entire life. And so anytime there was a life, like, change happening, like, oh, Victoria's going to struggle. And that was my identity. And then I started to do a lot of thought work and, like, kind of understanding my brain. I was like, wait a second. Like, look at my life. Like, I've done so many things. Like, I'd moved to the States on my own and, like, went to school. I'd moved to Montreal. And then I was like, I'm great with change. Like, decided to create this as my new story. And, like, actually, even, like, I'm a great public speaker. I used to pass out during public speaking because I was so terrified. And I'm like, actually, I'm going to decide to be really good at it. And then I started going to, like, Toastmasters and winning the events. And it's like, you can literally decide to be whoever the fuck you want to be. You just have to decide.
Exactly.
And then you start to show up as them. And so if you're listening right now, like, yeah, literally, like, I love that. Like, if you're moving to a different country and you, like, want to decide, like, what values are important for you, what characteristics, like, what would your life look like? And then just create it. Like, just brainstorm it out, see what that looks like. And it doesn't even mean that you have to move, obviously, to a country, but the fact that you basically primed your brain and told yourself, like, this is important to me, this is what I want, and then, like, review it, but, like, that's gonna slowly start to make shifts and become your reality, which is so cool. And, like, even for me, I was like, I remember writing down, like, I want to move to Bali, and like, I want to start my own business, and I want to have a podcast. And it's like, here we are on the podcast in Bali. Like,
exactly.
It's like,
because this is a thing, right? People think that your identity or reality is like a fixed thing. But when we start looking at it, it literally comes down to the story we tell ourselves. And what is really important to understand, where we always start with my clients as well, is like, what is the reasons behind the story? Because often we kind of make ourselves a victim. And understanding also the acceptance there. It's not that that's wrong. Everyone does it. And when we start looking into what there was the reason that we did it in the first place, maybe that was avoiding some pain. Usually that comes down to, everything comes down to avoiding pain and gaining pleasure. So when we understand what were we unconsciously trying to do with that behavior, we can accept it. And not like, oh, I had this limiting belief, which is bad, I'm wrong. But like, oh, this belief was serving me, and this story that I was telling, I thought was keeping me safe, protecting me. But when we understand, okay, it's not serving me anymore, thank you, I can let go of you, I can create something that's actually gonna make me happier and serve me better in the future. So that's also something to become aware of, that it's all just down to our decisions.
Ooh, you such on, like, I'm sure we coach fairly, like, pretty similar, because I coach about, like, the motivational triad is kind of how, you know, if you know much about it, it's like, basically your brain likes to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and conserve calories. So it's like habit formation, avoiding pain or brain thinks it's associated with death. And then seeking pleasure, like even like high calorie delicious foods or like more pleasurable experiences, and then avoiding painful experiences by, for example, eating food kind of thing. So it's like, but it all comes back to, the stories we tell ourselves, and they were serving us. Like whether it is like smashing a workout to avoid the feeling of not feeling good enough, or trying to look perfect to avoid that pain, or like seeking pleasure in another person to avoid something else, like whatever it is, it all comes back to the stories we tell ourselves, and like what we want to show up as in the world. And once we're able to have that awareness and really take responsibility and ownership, stop being the victim, take ownership, because there's no ownership and action if you're telling yourself I can't do anything, like that just hangs there, versus being like, yeah, you can fucking do it, like you can do it. It sounds so silly.
but that's true. That's the funniest thing. Like every time we start looking what actually works, it's the most simplest things, the cliches. Like even one of the biggest one that I all the time with my clients is this kind of, they always like, but Tui, I wanna learn to, like, I wanna find love. I wanna find relationship. You know, I wanna find that true acceptance, that like love from someone else. And even though, no matter how cliche it is, but if you don't know how to accept yourself and love yourself unconditionally, how can anyone else? Like, even if you find a partner, you probably unconsciously gonna like somehow like sabotage that relationship, because if you don't know how to receive unconditional love, if you don't know how to receive it yourself, how can someone else give it to you either? And this is also like all comes down to awareness and belief systems, that we, if we think like, I'm gonna be happy when I find love, And when it comes from the outside, you're just constantly living in that state of lack, instead of wanting something you don't have, instead of accepting the situation and like seeing all the abundance and working on that relationship with yourself, because that's the most important relationship you'll ever have.
Right? I feel like we're the same person. Like, you're saying all these things, I'm just like, it's kind of creepy at this point. Yeah, like, come in a space of lack, like, if I X, then I'll Y, like, if I lose weight, or if I look a certain way, then my life will start. Like, it's like, yeah, it's exactly that. It's exactly that.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, there you go.
And
so, the question I ask everyone who comes on the podcast, because the name of my podcast is Weighing in on Happy, so the kind of the spoiler alert is that weight is not kind of the answer to happiness. So, for you... Subjective question, so there's no wrong answer. What makes you happy?
That's a really beautiful, deep question. I think we covered a lot of that already, mm-hmm. but I think the biggest belief that allows me to be this happy is that I believe that life is magical.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have the belief that life was a test, right? So I have the belief now that life is magical and that miracles are everywhere. And I literally, people joke about it. They say that, Tui, you live in your unicorn world. Like, when are you going to come back to reality? And this unicorn thing became a thing.
Yeah.
Because I literally just choose to see unicorns and rainbows everywhere. And that's just, yeah, just getting excited for the journey. That's the thing. Like, every day I wake up excited because I always want to grow and learn new. And I choose to just see the miracles everywhere.
Hmm. I love that. Okay. So where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram. So my handle is Shine with Tui. I'm currently working on my website, but Instagram is probably the easiest way to connect.
Amazing. So I'll put that below in the show notes as well, so people can easily go and find you and follow you and just bask in all of your glow and amazingness and your shine and all that. So thank you so much for coming on today. I so enjoyed this conversation. It was great. And yeah.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was amazing.
So good. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tui. If you enjoyed it as much as I did, then please rate and review. Additionally, if you want a screenshot and tag me on Instagram to let you know that you listened, I would absolutely love that. Now, for more information on me, my programs, the Craving Food Freedom membership program, you can stop food fear and guilt so you can eat effortlessly and intuitively, then check out my website, www.victoriaevansofficial.com. You can also find me on Instagram, that is at Victoria Evans Official, and I've also dropped a little freebie there below for you in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes for all the different resources available to you. And until next week, I hope you have a fabulous day. Bye-bye.